We are builders, hear our call. Building knowledge, standing tall. Building character strong and true. Building community, me and you. We are
Builders.
This is Mrs. Fernandez here. We're back, finally, with some people. We've got Kyla as our star of the week, and she brought along
Clara
and
Layla,
and that's
me,
Kyla. Okay, we are all here. We had kind of a weird week last week. A couple of random presentations, and just kind of getting some work done. We're getting close to the end of a semester, so.
We got Jolly Ranchers when someone came in for Articipate, which I think is a mix between art and participate.
Yes, exactly. They're trying to teach you all about art and art history and how to analyze art with a finer eye.
You guys got some Jolly Ranchers.
Candy's good. All candy's always good. Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of the things we did in class. We're going to talk also about the presentations that we got to see last week, so you can talk about Articipate there too. So in math, we are still doing division, but we also started going into measurement a little bit, and we did a task called perplexing measures. What, explain to the viewers or listeners at home what that's all about.
Perplexing measures is where you'd give us a random roll of paper, and mine happened to be like so long, it was like two. Like,
Clara, you got like a meter long roll.
Maybe longer, actually, yeah. I think. It's probably close to almost two.
I got the longest in a class. I could even measure the teacher and the sub.
Yeah, and some of the people only got one that was like about a foot long-ish, right?
Yeah.
So lots of different things. Okay, what would we do with those random pieces of paper?
We measured like specific things in the classroom, like the mailboxes and people.
I measured Kyla.
Yeah.
And almost everyone in the class, including the sub.
Nice. So we took that paper, we turned it into a measuring tape. Mm-hmm. We kind of broke it down even into fractions, down to the
eighths.
And then you got to measure things around the classroom and learn a little bit about how units work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was challenging about that activity?
Mine would keep rolling up, and it was so long that I would have to be on one end at one time and someone else hold the other end because I couldn't, like, spread my body out, especially because I'm the smallest person in the class and I got the biggest measuring thing.
Yeah, that's pretty
it's
funny.
It's ironic.
It is.
Some people, they might not get the same measurement as you, like if you measured the same thing and...
Yeah, if we're using, like, a ruler, we could, like, check our answers to somebody else. But since we all had different measurements, it was, like, you kind of just had to have somebody use your same thing and check it, right? It was a little bit trickier.
And we got to name ours. I named mine Zombalonies.
What did you name yours, Layla?
Create your own.
Oh, really? What about you?
Swifty.
Nice.
And a big one.
Mine was Squadooshals. Yes, so we get to just make up our own units and then use them, practice measuring things as we get into some measurement stuff. And talk about how units are different, and that's going to change our measurements too. We also started, I know we talked already in our podcast, about introducing the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and how we're going to be watching the movie and doing the play. But now we've actually gotten into the story a bit.
Uh-huh.
So tell us a little bit about what's happened in the story so far, and what do you think are some of the themes so far? I know we haven't gotten far enough to, like, know how it ends.
I do.
Well, some of you do, because you've read it before, but don't spoil it for our viewers at home yet.
So far, it's about four British kids. Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, they moved from Britain during World War II, and then they stayed with the professor in his big mansion, and then one day, while they were exploring inside, they found a wardrobe, well, Lucy did, and Lucy went inside and found herself in Narnia. There she met a fawn named Tomness. And then she came back out of the wardrobe, and it was still the same time and the same day, and nobody believed her.
She tried to reason with them that it was real, and by she, I mean Lucy. And, like, you know, they didn't believe her. And then, like, I think the next day they were playing hide and seek. And Lucy went into the wardrobe and didn't close it properly because it is foolish to shut oneself in a wardrobe.
I said a few times in the book.
Yeah.
Who follows her in, though?
Edward.
Edmund. And what does Edmund happen? What happens to Edmund in there?
In there, he sees the queen and gets a bunch of enchanted Turkish delights.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they were so good. I think if he had a phone, he would rate them 5 stars.
5 stars, that's right. And the queen is not really a great queen. She is.
The White Witch.
Dun, dun, dun. And we kind of have just gotten to the point where all the kids go into Narnia now. And Tumnus, who is the fawn that Lucy met,
He got arrested.
He got arrested by the White Witch. Thank you. And the kids now are trying to figure out what to do. And there's a beaver that's like, I'll take you to my place and we'll get you food and we'll tell you all about it. And that's kind of where we're left off, so.
And Aslan has landed. Say that again. Aslan has landed.
We don't know who Aslan is as a reader yet, do we?
Who is she?
What are some of the themes you think of the book so far?
Don't lie. Because why? Edmund, when he went into the wardrobe, she found him in there and she was like, now we can both tell the older kids and they'd be sure to believe us. And then he let her down and said that they were just playing. And then while they were in the wardrobe, they found out about him. So now they're all kind of mad at him.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one. Any other themes you can think of?
Don't eat food from strangers.
Also true. Why would she say that?
Probably because if you don't know, then there might be something in it.
Like what happened to Edmund.
Yeah. Like,
don't do anything with strangers.
Basically, that's a stranger danger is a real thing. And other tricky people. All right. We also learned a little bit about Native Americans that lived in Indiana long ago.
Did anyone else know other than me that that Shawnee was Camp Tecumseh's? I mean, just Tecumseh's. Sorry.
<That's> tribe. I was in the Shawnee cabin at Camp Tecumseh.
Oh, cool.
That's a camp. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years ago, I was in Pottawatomie.
Nice. So a lot of these things, a lot of our place names in Indiana actually come from Native American either tribes or nations or their names for things, right? So we have even the Wabash itself is named after a Native American thing. Anything else besides some of the names and the tribes?
They got into a battle with the French when the leader was away. I personally took the Native American side.
You mean the British?
What? The British.
Actually, at that point, are we talking about 1812 and William Henry Harrison and stuff?
Yeah.
That was actually American colonists. They were already American at this point.
Oh, okay. I kind of took the Camp Tecumseh. Tecumseh side. I actually call them Camp Tecumseh.
Yes.
Because the Americans attacked them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's war in general is pretty messy, huh? There aren't always good guys or wholly bad guys either. We also got to have some presentations last week. We'll talk about Officer Slifer's safety presentation and the Duke Energy presentation and Articipate. So, Officer Slifer's safety presentation, what did you learn about?
Like how to be safe when you're walking to school and like wear bright clothes when you're walking to the bus and wear lights when you're walking to school.
So mostly just about being safe when we get on our way to school. And then, like, I know when I walked in, you guys were talking about making sure the adults have their little IDs and stuff like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Just being safe at school.
And how if you're a bus rider walking in, a lot of people go through the mulch, and the mulch gets stuck in the doorframe, and that doesn't allow the door to fully close and lock. And he's found 31 doors with mulch stuck in them, and that could risk someone breaking into the school.
So even little things that we don't even think about, like playground mulch, making sure that we're keeping our schools secure and safe. Cool. And then the Duke Energy presentation, they talked about conserving energy.
The Wizard of Oz.
One actress, she acted as Dorothy. It was sort of like a Wizard of Oz sort of thing. And like the lion needed a nightlight.
Remember the weather stripping?
Yeah. That's it.
What's the weather stripping for?
So that the Tin Man's elevator didn't have to work so hard. And I think for the Scarecrow, he wanted some kind of water thing because his owner was, like, using too much water. And
I think that was the aerator, right? Because the aerator puts air into the water. And then there was weather stripping for the Tin Man. Mm-hmm. Just, like, fun little things to help us.
They each did a dance after they said what they wanted, and it was really fun. One did, like, the gritty, and they said, like, I slayed Queen.
Yeah, they were a little goofy. They had some fun with that. And then Articipate. What was Articipate all about?
It was, like, about old paintings and how they lost their color over time, and they had to be in like a certain temperatured room.
So keeping those safe, basically, so we can still use them today and look at them today.
It was like we just used prints because it would be really hard to get them, like the originals. If we wanted to see the Mona Lisa, we would have to, like, go to Paris, which, first of all, is impossible because we are in America.
I go to France and
cannot,
every year.
And cannot afford to get every each one of us a passport unless we already have one.
It would be very difficult to have us have to travel to a museum to see art, every art piece, right? So it's nice that we have prints, and it's even nicer that we have the internet now and all those things. So you got to look at a couple pieces of art, I believe, as well, right? And kind of talk about them, but more about like preservation of art right now. Cool. The kids also, in the last couple minutes, we have wanted to talk really quickly about Bob, and I am not talking about Battle of the Books.
Big bag. So Bob is our class elf, and so the social committee, yeah, they hide him, and his girlfriend Samantha the Third,
except and Big Back Bob.
Yeah, and Big Back Bob. Except you only get a you get a prize from the prize box if you find Bob
one random day a week. So we have Billy Bob Jr., Big Back Bob, and Bob and Samantha the Third, Bob's girlfriend. And
where did Bob come from? Is he an actual elf on the shelf?
No, he is a stick man.
Where did he come from?
So Mrs. Fernandez had some fifth graders over, and like there was this one message that said, "Find Bob," and he was hidden on like the top corner of a bunk. Of a boggle tile.
So one of my old students brought in and just randomly hid a stick figure, and my kids have taken to it, and now it's become our classroom elf, and my social committee hides it. We're random.
And one random day a week, if you find Bob, you get a prize from the prize box.
My students also wanted to talk a little bit about the sign language that we use in class. We don't like just sign and sign language, obviously, because none of us know ASL that fluently. But they want to talk a little bit about some of the signs we do use.
So when we have a really good like discussion and we're like learning stuff, and someone raises their hands and we're like, "Can I go to the bathroom?" It kind of just ruins it. So instead, they do kind of like an A, but they put their finger through the other fingers, and then they shake it, and that means go to the bathroom.
And for a pencil, and that's actually sign language for T, for toilet.
Oh, and for a pencil sharpener, you put one hand and a fist facing forward, and one hand, like, you're holding something, and then you, like, crank it, like you're cranking a water sharpener. And then for water, Oh, wait, did I say water
sharpener? You did say water sharpener.
Pencil sharpener. And then for water, you hold up 3 fingers, face it forward, and tap it against...
British coming through.
Water and tap it against your chin.
Nice. We also use one that's not up there on our list, but we use it almost every day in math in particular.
Oh, yeah. You put out your pinky and your thumb, and then you shake it between the person you have the thing in common with. And instead of raising your hand and being like, same, and everybody shouting like, same, you can just do,
So when we're talking about like different strategies we use, if somebody else does that same strategy, instead of like saying, oh, I did that too, we can just do the sign language for
and
shame.
Don't shake it or really me too. Hard like you're at a rock and roll concert. Like.
Yeah, we're not going crazy. Although this class is a little crazy. That is all we have time for, but we have a few more weeks left until winter break, and we are jam-packed with fun things. So we're going to try to get some learning in around all of that. Nah. But in the meantime, this is Mrs. Fernandez.
Okay, Kyla.
Clara.
Layla.
Saying...
Flamingos are delicious.
Why do we eat random animals like that?
Bob and his girlfriend are dating.
Bob and his girlfriend are getting married.
Bob and his girlfriend are getting married.
Saying.
Bob and his girlfriend are getting married.
Wow, you heard it here first, folks.